Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Vetter.
If I had to make a choice between the deaf man and the blind, I know just where my feet should go, and that's enough for me. So I turned around and knocked the sound, walked across the sea. And I traveled very far when suddenly I saw three small ships sailing up towards a distant shore. So lighting up a cigarette, I followed embassy. And from the secret cave, I had a way of disaster.
Welcome everyone, and that was, of course, Traffic, Sing the 40,000 Headmen. And welcome everyone, this is Andrew Vetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And it's been several weeks. This is sort of a very special show, because I will be going on hiatus for about a month on some projects, and I will be back again on status quo, going into full gear again in October. So again, I want to thank you everybody for who has been listening in the past and future, and look forward to any in future endeavors. Just want to reemphasize, I will be back in October just for 1 month, taking a status quo here. Got a lot of things happening, and probably by then I'll be discussing them as they unfold. But for this show, I think it was really, to me, I felt very emphasized to bring out certain things, and one of which is our truths, and of course, our perspectives, and what of our compassion? You know, what are our really truths? Is it what we see? Is it what we hear? Is it what we taste? Smell? Is it what we feel physically? Is it what we think? What is it? Even today, we get somehow locked into our desiring beliefs. What is true? We are sometimes led by our own egos with our own selfish desires. Are those our truths? Are they our assumed truths? But are they actually truth? Then there are the truths that have been here going from lifetime to lifetime, from one end to another. And they're even passed down from father to son, mother to daughter, community leaders to you, and another, cleric leaders to another. You are led even to believe what is true, but what is it? What is the truth? You may have been told, even, look outside for yourself for a truth, like a God outside of you, a Father, a Son, a Holy Ghost. You may have thought it was some sort of Shiva or Krishna, or perhaps some other form or personification of God, always outside of you, some sort of separation. You were even told, maybe look over there or look over here. You were even told that maybe the truth is in this book because there's God in this book. You're always simply sort of diverted from the real truth. Why, you ask? Maybe perhaps it's because you've been told the invention of the lie from generation to generation to generation. So I ask, is the truth what you see? Is it? Can you see wind? Is the truth what you hear? Can you hear an electron? Can you hear a photon? Can you smell the truth? Can you smell the thought? Can you feel the color blue? Can you think the essence of the air? This is the problem when you look into the universe for God instead of more who you actually are. People are always looking for a truth out there, somewhere out there. And they're locked into what they say. Of course, you probably noticed I was mentioning the consciousness, as the Buddhists would say. But you don't find those in the ultimate truth. In Buddhism and in Taoism, they say, they call these the nine consciousness. And one of which would be, obviously, let's say eyesight. The other one would be the ears, your nose, your mouth, the taste, your body, meaning feeling, and then your mind, what you're initially thinking. That would be the sixth, lower consciousness. And then, of course, there's the ego, which is the desire I have to have, I have to this, I have to that, the desires. The selfish desires, let me put it that way. And then there is, of course, then going into what some people call the karma area, or from our belief systems, or what we think. Maybe you have a phobia, so you have a fear of something. You believe that because you're told this, and it goes from lifetime to lifetime. You have an infinity for something that must think that, assume that it's the absolute truth, but then it's just obscured. And some of the people say this is where the seeds of karma lie, in that consciousness. Some people call it the eighth consciousness. And of course, the ninth being the true self, your true nature, your higher self, that self which is connected beyond. So how do you find the truth, true nature, to yourself? It reminds me of a story. And this was told to me by, and it was told by some holy tzaddikim in Israel, and it was a famous story. You probably heard this one. Anyway, and its story goes like this: there's man had the key to find what was truth. So God did it, and why? And I know I'm using personification of God right now, but that's just how the story went. So God didn't want to let man find this too easy. He wanted to make it work for it. Yeah, I knew we had some technical cuts there. It was sort of funny because I just stopped in a parable talking about where we can find the truth. And, of course, that parable dealing where finding that truth isn't within the heart. But what is the truth? I mean, you often heard people say probably an amen to that, right? Or after they see something they have faith in and they believe in is amen. But I don't know if they know what amen really means, and it really means to believe. I believe it's the truth, right? Well, in Hebrew, to say truth, literally you say emet, which again is to believe what is true. Again, it's a belief, your perspective to believe what's true. So let's look at the reality. Take away our perspectives. Remove them. Whitewash them cleanly off this planet. We see things where they are from the universe, but in reality, we know, we have an understanding, let me put it that way, that the universe is infinite, or in more real terms, beyond the infinite. We even know that, for example, what space is, that we know that space, there's beyond space. We even know, or have a greater understanding, that even within ourselves, your cells, from going down to atomic level in the quantum form, we really are 99.999% space. We only see, remember the low Earth thing? We only see the reflection of light, so we assume that's what we are. But in the reality within the universe, again, the reality within the universe, we're nothing but air, space. We may talk, you may hear me, but that's another reality, right? It's a very confined area. But in the reality within the universe, and its multiple aspects within the universe, with its multiple dimensions, the reality is beyond space. And what is that? Nothingness. You may have heard the term in Kabbalism, they call it the Ein Sof, which means beyond nothing. Ein. Even though some people say it wouldn't be infinite because it's Ein is beyond, means nothing or is beyond nothing. And in Tao, they say it's beyond empty bowl. So it's beyond emptiness. That is the true space, the true direction. That is where the truthfulness lies within it, the direction of. You're going, what's the direction? That's the direction. You often find people who even do psychic readings or metaphysical connection like that, they will really, in true form, go to that place of nothingness or beyond the place of nothingness in their own mindset. That is heading toward their true self, and that's how they connect. That's where your divine connection. When you go into that place and you're meditating, that is the direction you go, the place of nothingness. When you connect to things, to finally get information or an idea, where does it come? From nothingness, the beyond the space. So again, what are we? Are we what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we feel? Is it what we desire? Or is it simply the karma seeds that we've continued from lifetime to lifetime, the attachments, the attached experiences that we have not gotten over, our anger, our upsets? Or is it our higher self, our true self? What are we in reality? What are we in real time? So, what is it? Is it, what is our connection? What is the connection between you and I? If the truth is that we're all, everything is beyond the infinite, and our higher self is the direction toward that beyond nothingness, then the reality is we are all connected. So how do we learn this mechanical process that in reality, not only we are the true divine nature within us, is the direction of our higher selves, our true nature, which is toward the direction of beyond the space of nothingness, our true selves. What is the vehicle that can show the connection, perhaps, between you, me, and everything within this planet? What is a connecting force that we've been given to us, a key? Like, through what? What did I say before? Oh, yeah, it's in your heart. That is the key defining the truth. So what is the key? You've heard many times, whether it would be in the true understandings within, for example, in Judaism and Kabbalism, or Taoism, Buddhism, or the original Christianity, what Jesus spoke of, or Sufi Islam, any of the real behind things, the real functions, you'll hear the word compassion. But many have the wrong understanding of what compassion is, so let me explain to you. Many have used the word compassion or have compassion, but in reality, compassion leads to us. It's better to have it. Why? It's to lead us to something. You'll hear it's a common theme amongst Buddhists, and vegans even pronounce it constantly for their reasoning behind being a vegan. The compassion to what? It's the compassion toward hearing, seeing suffering. And who is suffering? Now, I think there's a blur when you talk about compassion in the words of compassion and empathy. They're very similar, but they're a little bit slightly different. Having compassion for all things, rich and poor alike, each has their suffering. Some suffer too much, others too little. This is what Buddha said. Compassion has been a common expression when it comes to spirituality and the love for each other. I mean, if you look up the definition for compassion, it means sympathy, pity, concern for suffering or misfortune of others. Yet, empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of somebody else. So, wouldn't it be better to be empathetic than it is to be compassionate? Yeah, I'm concerned, I'm worried, I have compassion. Or you have understanding to share the feeling of somebody else. Feeling the understanding. Now maybe it's because compassion is used in the word English and maybe it was said differently. Because we use our words and we sometimes get changed over from translation to another. So maybe what Buddha meant was really empathy instead of compassion. So I want you to realize that. I think you perhaps was thinking of that. Anyway, he also said, triple this truth to all, a generous heart, kind speech and service, life of service and compassion are the things which renew humanity. But it isn't compassion and empathy. It's just simply a connection, a mechanism to do what? Teaching you and me. When you feel something, you emphasize, you have compassion toward it. If you're experiencing what? What in reality is happening? What is exactly happening? You're feeling connected to that person or thing or animal or species or people. You're feeling the connection. It is a mechanism that's making you aware of something. What is that something? So, again, when we look at compassion, what do we do? Now, before I look into compassion, I have to emphasize another important aspect to understanding. Because we often, people jump on the bandwagon of suffering. Oh my God, they're suffering. So before I get into the deep understandings of compassion into itself, when we need to understand the concept of suffering in the reality of the universe, what is suffering? And I must re-emphasize the very reason and why we're also in our bodies on this planet, Earth. The reasons why, and they're pretty indicative of understanding the reality of this universe and not a matter of faith or belief, but actually is just is. There are actually four reasons why you're in your little body, stuck in that little bit of you inside that body. It is simply to learn to heal ourselves. So it's simply to heal ourselves, to learn, to love, to experience. That's it. That's all. And these concepts, of course, can morph into one reality just as much as particle wave blur into the reality of understanding of time, space, and so on. Because in reality, everything is symbiotic in its relationship. as much as all things in the universe. Thus, cause and effect are symbiotic. Yin and yang is symbiotic. That's why it is a circle. The reality is we're a circle, not divided. There is no such thing as duality in relationships to anything. It is all symbiotic. Cause and effect. The thing is connected, is interconnected to each. It's a circle. It never ends. It stops. It continues. So now bear with me with these concepts. We are here to heal ourselves by the actions and choices that we experience. We have co-created and chosen the cooperation of the universe, all that we experience. And these are the opportunities given us, the opportunities to heal. These are the experiences for which we have been given us to opportunity to do what? To learn, to gain wisdom, to understanding, which indirectly develops our healing process. We have the opportunity to experience the opportunity to love, to learn to love. And what is love but are both the awareness of our beauty within ourselves, our true nature, our self-worth, the outward realization that we are so connected to everything, including each one another. Again, connected. Did I hear love, connection? Interesting. The word love in Hebrew, I mean, comes from the, you know, emphasis of heart, right? It's really interesting because heart in Hebrew is lev. Lev is 32. Because everything goes numbers in Kabbalism. Lamed Bet, 32. Everybody wants to look that up. 32 is 5, right? 3 plus 2 is 5. And you have 5 fingers, right, on your hand. And you also have 32 bones in your hand. And if you said in Hebrew, yad, which means hand literally, that's 14, so that's 1 and 4, again, 5. See, there's a pattern. The pattern is a bridge. The 5 often uses a bridge. But I'm not here to talk numbers. We're talking about concepts. We also have the opportunity, by the way, to learn, to divine, to co-choose within the earth's experience a romantic love, which in itself is a healing process between souls experiencing further element of connection. When you meet your loved one, what are you doing? Connecting. Well, I feel connected with this person. There's a connection between us. That experience, that love essence is what I'm talking about. It is the true love that I'm talking about. The true love where there's no agenda applied because it is true love. It is unconditional love. That is the divine connection. Thus, when you feel things connected around you, the earth, that is the love. When they say love God, that's loving God is loving everything. Feeling that we're all divinely connected. Experiencing and understanding the vehicle of compassion is that love. Experiencing the suffering of the individual is that connection process. We are also experiencing many things by our own perceptive. This is where the perceptive can be skewed and is not the reality, but the reflection of what you assume it is. Example, we often heard the term, when I was getting to this, was just suffering. In its reality, suffering is just based upon perspective. It really is. In reality, it is it's perspective one's experience, not the reality from within the universe. The universe is absolutely perfect in every way. It is only out of small perception that there is suffering. And I'll give you an example to each their own, is in their own perspective, what's suffering. I'll give you an example with a bacteria forming, let's say, would be on your leg, giving you much suffering. Oh, it hurts. My leg hurts. Oh, my God, I'm suffering from this bacteria. From your perspective, you're suffering. But to the bacteria, it's happy camper, eating away on your cells, your tissues, on your leg, while you're in agony and pain, right? You call your doctor, and the doctor treats it with, let's say, an antibiotic. Then the antibiotic attacks the bacteria. Now the bacteria is suffering. So in its perspective, it's suffering. Yet, isn't it connected? The question now is, you having compassion for the person or the bacteria, which do you have? Get it? both part of the universe. Why would you delegate? Separate. Because see, the point of compassion is a vehicle to experience a connection. That's all. And before I go off in tangent, I must re-emphasize another thing. One reason for experiencing when someone's suffering or being afflicted or in what would, in their perspective, be going bad or horrible is the opportunity for us also to appreciate the circumstance we are in. For example, if you're walking along and you see how now you see someone maybe lost a job or you don't have a job yourself or no money or situation, so you still have to thank God in the universe or Allah or whoever your belief is. Since you're the one the same, you still got two eyes and two legs and you can walk. Sometimes we experience these things around us, giving us the opportunity to see within our perspective. Unfortunately, say, you know what? Thank you. This is an opportunity to be thankful, being in grace. This is grace or thankfulness and our opportunity to heal. Because when we show thankfulness, we're actually healing. We have shown our love to the universe, our connecting understanding. That's the wisdom and understanding. So thank you. When you get your food or water, think, thank God I have water. I always, when I drink water, for example, I always thank God for water is life, right? To me, water is life. You can accentuate even more food. You'll see people pray, hold it up, and go, you know what, think, whatever, I have food. Look at the people who do not have food. You have food, clothes, shelter. But still, people aren't still appreciative for what they do have. They look at what they don't have. Goes back to ego. Remember that one consciousness I talked about? Don't want to divert from that, but getting back to subject matter. So back to what Buddha had once said about the association and understandings of compassion. Have compassion for all beings, rich and poor alike. Rich and poor alike. Each has their own suffering. Some suffer too much, others too little. But it's still compassion, right? Why did Buddha say this? Because he wanted to show that we're all connected. Having compassion is in reality feeling the other one's perspective. This, again, is associated with a kind of love. Love, which in reality is as what it is. As I mentioned, it is the connecting force, the action connecting within our souls and the universe. It is our awareness. This is indeed what compassion is. It is our awareness of connection with the feeling of the suffering we emphasize. We emphasize there is a love, a connection. This is broadened. It gives us the understanding that we are connected. This gives us the wisdom of our infinite connection. This is the healing experience that gives us into developing our higher frequency, increasing for who we really are, being into our higher energy. This opens our more awareness and wisdom even to greater understandings and greater wisdom, even to experiencing because our own perspectives have then just increased due to our healing and increased frequency. Thus, if you increase your frequency, your ability to perceive and understand things greatly increase. Just like a tuning fork. Just like a string on a guitar increases faster and faster, you can match the higher frequency within the universe. That's the process. And as you increase your frequency, you're coming, heading toward your true self, or connecting to beyond the infinite, your true nature. You can do this through meditation, or in some people call living meditation, by removing the karma seeds, as they say, as being a good little cultivator would do. Good gardener. But let's look at the disconnected perception and belief within the system of humanity. We tend to live in a fishbowl with our cities, our culture, which creates an illusion that we're somehow separate from nature. But in reality, we aren't. The universe oftentimes shows us this, right? With Mother Earth. Come back and there's a great little hurricane or a tornado. You know, we're constantly shown by the universe that there's no separation. When a massive tornado comes in or hurricane, it doesn't go, wait, I only want these kind of people and that kind of people. No, it wipes the whole village out, right? In black, white, green, yellow. There's no division. That's the reality. And then we also separate ourselves within our little cities and think that's our little reality because we make believe. We made it a little game becoming. But in reality to the universe, in reality to the universe, that's not reality. We've created our own illusion, our own perception with our eyes, ears, nose, mouth, our lower belief systems. But that isn't the truth, is it? If you read in Genesis, or in Hebrew, they call Bereshit in Hebrew, the first book in the Bible. Of course, the Bible's the Torah, as we know, you've heard often the story of Adam and Eve, right? The relationship with the Eden. But in fact, there's no Adam and Eve. It's just a story how mankind relates to nature and how it connects to nature. Within the Zohar, the Kabbalists look primarily within this special part because it covers so much. Why? Why? It's because there's something so important. It's the reality. It's our truth. Connecting to our Eden, our Garden of Eden. Garden. Oh, didn't I say something about cleaning up our garden? Get it? There's all these little metaphors. In Kabbalah, the understanding there's a reference to even a higher elevating of our soul, our higher frequency, as I mentioned before. I'll brief you about this because it demonstrates there's an interrelation between Taoism, Buddhism, Kabbalism, which has great same understandings, but that's utilized different names. It makes you wonder how we're essentially the same. The levels or souls are often referred to worlds. I mean, the levels of the soul, for example. We look at things from our own perspectives. You may see things in the Asiya or the lower levels. And this is what we see. This is the level, the low frequency that most humans live with in this kind of material existence. Then the next level is moving up to Yetzirah. Which is a level of some people, the archangels, we enter a dreamscape, Merkaba, perceptions. By the way, angels don't have choice. And then there's an area that I never got into before. I talked about something called the Adam area, which is when we connect to nature of things. This is done through the compassion, the soul, the unconditional love, the compassion within the Bible. It is awareness of. It's often expressed within the concept of Daniel, being the righteous one. And of course, if I go beyond Yetzirah, or the dream area, you sort of visually see, you're going into what's called the area of creation, Bira, get it? Create. Where only archangels can even go beyond into this level because it's too higher. Actually, human soul is considered to be able to go beyond that. It's where the very element of manifesting, creating from nothing to something. It's from this area is the empty bowls comes forth within the thought. It is also some people call it the area where there is the records that are formed or found. We use different words for expressing the records. But that's where Bira. And then there's, of course, Atzilut, which is the higher frequency. This is heading toward your true nature, your true self. It is the very existence of all elements and all energies within the universe. This is where the truth lies. It is the direction of truth. Because it's beyond anything. This is where you've often heard the cherubim, the little baby angels dwell. Remember the old expression? You have to be a child, find the inner child within you. That's the hint. The inner child is you, the cherub. at your level, you're so heading to this direction. People go, was there really cherubim? Yeah, probably, maybe. Could be. But it's giving you, that's not important. It's showing you direction. And of course, God is going to the divine connection to beyond the nothingness. That's okay. Is. It just is. So getting now back to compassion, it is in reality, well, we're here, we're connecting to each one another, to the universe. It is our awareness. If humanity had compassion, what and where would humanity be? But aware of our earth, our connection to her, aware of the connection between all souls, our connection to the universe at large. What would happen if we indeed had compassion? We would be simply aware, right? Thus, the unconditional love with all souls, beings, all elements of earth, our universe. The compassion is the way. It is our method to connect, to feel each other by seeing the other's perception and realizing their pain through it is their perception, though it is. It is our connection, is how we feel these other souls, our empathy. This is our compassion, to feel each other, to feel the universe. It is our empathy expressed through our compassion. So I ask, why does a tiger have compassion? It doesn't have compassion for the calf it has eaten. It does not have compassion. The tiger is not separate from the nature of the universe. Tiger is part of the universe. The tiger did not create an illusionary world of separation. We did. We, humanity, have created an illusion of separation. And the compassion is our solvent to remove this illusion. So if you see someone who is less fortunate than you, feel that person's perceived suffering with empathy. This is our opportunity to heal, to love, to learn, to connect, to experience. Examples, there are a multitude where there is compassion. And there's examples where there's no compassion. And where you find no compassion, you'll find hate, division. You'll see cancer within humanity. Look at the Middle East, for example. Look what's going on in Syria. I don't want to get involved. We shouldn't get in there. I don't care. That's their problem. It's us. It's them. If we do it, what will happen to them? Divide. Look at the Middle East, for example, how the division course, the empathy. You look in the expressions within, for example, Huffington Post and all the comments that people make through all the stuff, and you'll see that it's us versus them. Conservatives versus liberals, liberals versus conservatives, that party versus them, because they create an illusion of separation. They create an illusion that it's either you're a Muslim, a Shiite, a Sunni, a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist. Separation mentality. And the only way to remove that is through compassion. What is the difference between you and the other person? Nothing. You both bleed and die the same way. You both go back to Earth. You both have the same carbons. We may have different DNA. But again, the DNA is not our soul. It's like the shell. It's part of our... We have an element called nefesh, a part of our spirit, part of it. Because we're always connected in one form or another. But today, you're a Muslim. Last lifetime, you're a Jew. Lifetime before that, you may have been a Christian. Who knows? Again, even those are taking on the lower perspectives, the karma consciousness. It is not their true selves. Our true self is beyond that. That's where you show the compassion, the connection, that we're our true selves. Our true selves is our inner connection between our all humanity. So when you see the division, it's going the opposite direction, away from our true selves. Thus creates cancer within humanity and cancer within the universe. Why is there war? Why is there suffering? Because we haven't gotten the compassion or empathy within us. Why? Because we haven't become aware of our connection to one another. Look what's going on in Asia and Europe and Latin America. Look what's going on in Egypt, the division. Either my way or the highway. My invention of the lie is better than your invention of the lie. My God is better than your God. Bullshit. We do that everywhere. My belief is better than your belief. Again, separation. Yet, if you take that little so-called compassion, that removes it. Why is the universe consistently throwing us some major tragedies? 9/11, things like that. Catastrophes. Hurricanes. Or how about just a mass murder going, start shooting up people? Is it we're looking at the crime, but we're not looking at why we're experiencing this? Think about why we're experiencing this. Because the soul never dies. The body only dies. Why are we going into these experiences? Because we're trying to learn to connect. We're trying to learn to heal. We're trying to learn to love. And we're experiencing this. So if you see someone less fortunate than you, feel the perceived person suffering with empathy. This is your opportunity to heal, to love, to learn, to connect, and experience. As Buddha had said, teach this triple truth to all. Generous heart, kind speech, life of service and compassion are things which will renew humanity. Get it? Renew humanity. That's to heal us. Speak with a generous heart. Speak kind speech. Don't be hateful. Don't you be hating. Don't talk of division, dividing us. Thus, compassion, empathy does what? It is our mechanism to connect. It's reborning of the soul, reborning of the humanity at large. We are individual souls, but we are all deeply connected. We all have humanity within these bodies, but we're here to learn. We are, when in fact, we're not. What is our soul spirit in relation to our personality and perspectives? How do they impact our choices and we are our choices? We are what we do and what we think. Then in self, we've created a greater achievement. So think about that. Remember that we're just leaves on a tree with different views that all connected. All connected to the same branches, which is branches of humanity. Connected to the same common branch, being that of all living and non-living things upon earth, which has had the roots of earth being nurtured from the universe. The same roots within the same universe. This is our reality. This is who we are. It's what we are and what we out be. So I want to thank everybody for listening until a month from now. I want to wish everyone a glorious weekend. And for those who are following the Jewish faith, I wish you a Chag Sameach, Shana Tova. And all those in the United States, have a very safe and fun, happy, empathetic, compassionate Labor Day weekend. And thank you all for listening. And all future listeners and past listeners, I will see you again in a month from now. And now I close with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It's our house, because it's our house. God bless you all.
Light the fire. You replace the flowers in the barn that you bought. Today, staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long for just 5 minutes, everything is dark. Such a cozy room,
such a cozy room.
Windows are illuminated by